Again, welcome all of you back. We are here to honor God, make disciples. We are now in this series called What to Do When You Do Not Know What to Do. Today will be the final installment, okay, of our series. We have gone a long way, okay, 12 parts now. So this is from the part 1 to part 6, and then part 7 to part 12. Today I'm going to talk about how to succeed at work. Now, in any case you miss any of the message, our service, you can go back to our Facebook or YouTube, all right? That is, you just type Every Nation Church Penang, you're able to watch that. So we are gleaning, the wisdom from the book of Proverbs that somehow was written about 3,000 years ago, and those wisdom still speaks today. And good amen, all right? Now, although I'm ending the series today, that doesn't mean the end of the wisdom. It's just the beginning of many wisdom, in our life. Now, after this, in the month of November is a month that we always take upon a series on finance or stewardship, So we're going to do a new series called All That Matters. Look at your neighbor, left and right. What matters to you? All right. So since you're going to talk about finance, you're going to talk a bit about money, over that period. All right, now, so today the part 12, the final part, how to succeed at work. Let me ask you this question. How many of you love your work? Okay, not many, right? Okay, let me change. How many of you like your work? Okay, love no, like yes. What about job? Now you're asking, what's the difference right now? I'm just playing with words. Okay, isn't it true that many may love their job title, but many may not like the crazy work that you are doing? Can see the difference a bit now, all right? Now, so imagine the way you work, 10 hours. I know the standard working hours is 8, but imagine that you work 10 hours a day at your cubicle. Wow. I heard there's a company that has a budget that gave $2,000-$3,000 for you to set up your office at home. That's WFH. That sounds like you're going to work 24 hours. Okay, all right now. So talking about job title, have you heard about a job interview for machine specialists? So I'm trying to tell you what I mean by some love your job title, but not the work, that you are doing. Machine specialists, you wonder what is it? Another company, they call it machine operator. Okay. Now, I saw this on the CNN news that says that optical illuminator enhancer. That's a job for that. The job is just to clean windows. We call it cleaners. All right, now, another job title called director of first impression. What does that mean? You work, your job is at the reception. In our church, we call them ushers. Okay, all right, we greet people, all right? So when you think about that, do some reflection in a sense. If you do not love or like your job, how are you going to succeed at work? Can you reflect that? Yeah, right? Now, how many of us realize that every one of us are created to work or for work? All of us. All right, now, let me ask you this question. Or probably some of you will be wondering, you mean work come from God? Oh, yes. Hey, isn't it work a curse that written in the book of Genesis? Oh, now your mind starts to think. Now, you are created for work. It's one of the most fundamental principles, every one of us got to know. So let me ask you this question. Which one come first? Sin come first or work come first? Sin come first. Work come first. Now got two answers now. How many of you say sin come first? How many of you say work come first? Oh, so today you're going to realign what is in your mind right now. What about which one come first? Sin come first or wife come first? Or work come first or wife come first? Which one? Oh, okay, all right. Let's look at that now. Now, when God created Adam, God gave Adam work first or wife first? Work lah. So work come first. All right now. Some of you are thinking, that means what? Wife secondary? No, that's what I mean. Right now, let's look at the scripture. Genesis chapter 2 verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So God have the garden in Eden and put man in that garden. All right, now, verse 15. Look at the sequence. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to get married. Like to work and keep it. Now, in verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So God has said, ayo, I put you to work and you're so lonely. All right, now God in verse 18 says, I will make him a helper fit for him. Who is that? Eve, okay, which is your wife if you are married. Okay, verse 22. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, wow, man. That's what woman, right? Wow, man. Okay, now. So when God created man, it was about work. Because when God put Adam into the Garden of Eden, it's to work and keep it. All right? He is to guard. He has a responsibility that he need to work on that. So work was not a curse, not a punishment for mankind in creation day. All right, so when you get it, so now when you go to work, this is curse. I'm working now, it's a curse. No, it's not, okay? The original plan of God is not a curse. In fact, you look at Jesus, what Jesus said in John 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. If God is working, we better work, right? If your boss is working, you better work. Okay, all right. Boss working and, okay, now, that's a different story altogether. Now, with that, true work, in other words, true work, God gave you a purpose. God did not create Adam to sleep in Garden of Eden, right? So, God, true work, God gave us a purpose. That's amazing. And true work, God wants you to honor Him. Right? That's how we bring glory to Him. Now, for students, if you are a student, you, if I am a driver, I, right. If I am a worker, I work. If you are a student, you study. Okay, student. All right, study. All right, now. So, with that true work, then God give the man wife. Okay, can you see that? So, all singles, young men, do you know what attracts a woman to you? Six pack. Okay. According to 5C, okay. Now 5B, really, 5B, okay. Now, okay, it's none other than your work, if you think about it. Sounds a bit flashy or worldly, but yes, a woman is attracted to you. Part of that is also your work, all right, your job. Now, how many of you can actually go to your girlfriend and say, hey, I spend 10 hours on mobile game, you know. I stay at the cyber cafe until 3 a.m. What do you think your girlfriend will say to you? Or can you go to the girl that you want to marry? Hey, I'm the top scorer, you know, for Pokemon Go or Minecraft or whatever that you're talking about now. Your spouse-to-be or girlfriend-to-be, go and get a job. Correct? Now, so can you see, in that sense, how depressed a man will be if he has no work or no job, okay, versus no wife. Now, so in other words, all of us, we're hearing from last Sunday's message, okay, the message of what character, okay, that destroys wealth, okay, that we hear from Brother Edwin, let us not be lazy, slothful, sluggard, and so on, okay. With that, how many of us realize that you can be at work for 8 hours, but not working? Yeah, do you know that you can hold a position and not productive? Another one, if we are not careful, we can also be a spiritual sluggard. To pray or not to pray, to read or not to read, to come or not to come. We can also end up that attitude, okay, also affect us. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says this, for even when we were with you, okay, Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, okay, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Okay, it's what's written in the Bible. Now, when you think about work hours, how many work hours do you think that you want to spend in your life every day? All right, now, think about, if you live up to 75 years, you would have 657,000 hours of living. And out of the 657,000 of living, how much of that you spend on working in an office, in a job somewhere, 8 hours, okay, a day for 40 years, let's say 40 years, Monday to Friday. Okay, with that calculation, you actually spend about 83,500 hours. That come out to about 9.5. You remember I showed you this before? Okay, this one, this study shows that 10.5 years you spend your life on working. But then, if you are a working adult, and normally you spend like 8 to 10 hours in the company or whatever work that you are doing, that is about 40 to 50 working hours that you are spending with. All right, now, all the more, okay, when you look at this, you're 40 hours working, all right, and then look at this one, the state of, okay, it's not that clear, okay, never mind, let it be, all right, now, if you are a mother of a preschooler, friends, your attention to the young child is 100% of your waking hour, right, Joy? Anyone who has a small child is 100% of your waking hours attention. With that saying, all right, if you spend more time working, okay, which means you will spend more time working, thinking about work every day, more than eating, drinking, or even during your vacation, that means your work dominates your life. If your work dominates your life, I believe God has a lot to say about our work. You understand what I mean? Okay, 40, 50% that we spend on that. And I am sure, okay, God wants you to succeed and have a balanced work life. Can we pray? Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we lean through, okay, some of the verses from Proverbs as regards to how to succeed at work. I commit, Lord, all of us into your hands. Give us a clear mind. Holy Spirit, come, teach us, guide us, because only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Look at this, Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Wow. The Living Bible says, commit your work to the Lord, then it will succeed. So in this case, question that we must ask ourselves will be, how to commit our work to the Lord? How can we commit our work to the Lord, then it can be succeed? So with that, the part 12 that we are talking about today, how to succeed at work, and I would like to propose to you 4 keys how to succeed. All right, explore a few verses from the book of Proverbs, okay, the one written by King Solomon. All right, 4 keys, number 1. Number 1, to succeed is to seek God's direction. Why do I say so? All right, the Lord is please, also this sounds Proverbs 16:3, commit work to the Lord. The Lord is pleased when good people pray, but hates the sacrifice that the wicked bring him. Another one, pay attention to what you are taught and you will be successful. Trust in the Lord and you will be happy. Now, seeking God's direction is one of the fundamental that all of us got to do. All right? Whatever that you are doing. In other words, okay, that means when you seek God, you're asking God this, what do you want me to do, Lord? You know, especially all those when you finish your studies and you start applying jobs. Of course, that applies very high. Now, I do that all the time, okay, whether in the working place those days or even doing now, even as a pastor. What do you want me to do, Lord? All right, I have stories after stories of how, okay, in the working place those days in the factory, all right? Now, that means you pray, you ask. You pray and ask God for direction. Planning, praying. Praying, planning. Okay? Nothing short, okay, of that. Because these two must come together, and to have a game plan is not just working hard. When you pray, when you ask, God will show. When there was a time that in my working in the factory was the lowest period of my life, look at all the problems, left, right, front, back. Going for all meetings is a dust problem. Every second, every phone call, a dust problem. Then I look out to God. I cry before God and ask, God, what do you want me to do? Then stories of what happened in the Bible comes in. Then in that moment, I was just crying to the Lord said, you remember Goliath? How big the problem that David has? Very big. As big as Goliath. So can you see a problem? can. It's so big. No one can miss. Wow, with that, I was so thankful that that problem was so big that no one can miss, because I don't have to search what's the problem. You know, sometimes you face a problem and you don't know what's the problem, all right? Now it's the problem is so big, everybody can see it, which means there's an answer for that, all right? I don't have to spend time, okay, searching what is the problem. It's so clear. So with that, planned out. I plan, pray, until the stage when I gather the leaders, not church leaders, I mean working, supervisors and all this. Do you know our problem? Yes. So y'all can see? Yes. Okay, if you can see, let's do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then after that, do you all know one story? David and Goliath. So I tell them the story, then we work on it. Anyway, all right now. So I plan all the time, my wife as well. Okay, you come to a place where my children, as they grow up, they were just secondary period of time. They saw us planning all the time. And then, lo and behold, every weekend they plan. They come to a stage, they actually tell us, Mom, Dad, okay, today, this is what y'all do. Okay, this is what we do. Now, Deborah also pick it up. Okay, today y'all do this, y'all do it. I do this, y'all go. Okay, they are the one telling us. Okay, because they pick up, because we plan all the time. Friends, I have to plan whether I should rest. Otherwise, I'll keep working. All right. Now, Proverbs 16, verse 9, you make your plans, but God direct your actions. So you pray, you plan. Okay, you plan, you pray, God will direct. Okay, your path, all right, now. So, with that, now, I know some of us, probably your habit of working is spontaneous. Okay, fine. Okay, it works for you, fine. But you may want to think over, all right, when you come to things, when the things are not organized, things are not planned, and probably you need to think ahead. Now, look at this, Proverbs 13:16. A wise man thinks ahead. A fool doesn't, and even brags about it. Let me give you example. I've known of people who going traveling, having reached airport, and then realize passport expire. What are you going to do? Can you fly? No way. True? Now, tell your neighbor left, right? I know someone like that, but it's not me. Okay, all right. Now, think about when going on a vacation and not plan anything. Are you the type going just go for holiday and then you start jumping from one hotel to another hotel, finding a place to stay? Oh, that's so stressful. That's not holiday, right? Not holiday. So best vacation will be when you're on holiday is there's no more need to plan, because already plan everything. You know, when one time travel with Evan and Sue was, wow, you plan all this? Wow, how on earth you found this place, right? When you arrive to the airport, someone is ready to pick you up, right? Correct? No? When you arrive at airport, your meal is ready. When you arrive at the exit of the door, someone is waiting for you and pass you the SIM card. Ah, all right. Everything is all planned, all right now. So in other words, pray, plan, think ahead, write it down. God will direct you. Amen? All right. So at the same time, set some specific goal. Okay, that's important. Now, next. Number two, sharpen your skill. You want to succeed, sharpen your skill. Now, in our world today, besides having the brain, that's 1B. I say got 5B. Your future spouse want you to have brain. All right. Now, most sectors are not just looking for brain, but also look at your skill set. All right. Now, so that's why today there's a lot of skill set, tool set, okay, mindset. Okay, that one, Casey is the expert. All right. Now, so wildlife, be there, because I think we're going to patent that already in the coming year, but I haven't talked to Casey yet, okay, right now. So, period like this, with MCO and all those, you know, this is the best time to sharpen your skill. It's high time, okay, to do that. Now, God has given us, every one of us, talents. You know, we can say, hey, I have talent. But again, if you take some time to develop that talent, you'll become very successful. You know, when I look at Sean, wow, when he just knew that he knew how to dance and all those, you know, I mean, of course, he didn't see me. I saw him like he will watch, okay, and learn, okay, how different moves, new moves and all those to keep himself, okay, skillful. That is where, okay, you can become successful. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, that says, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more energy or strength But wisdom helps one to succeed. Right? In other words, if you have a dull axe and you are chopping the wood, you're sure going to use more energy. Have you tried doing that? I tried to put a drill, okay, through the wall and realized that bit is broken. Broken means it's not... It's worn. The moment I realized that, so much energy, whatever boo energy tried to force it through, I can't. Then I realized I need to get a new drill bit. The moment I change the drill bit, it's just within seconds. Zoom, that's it. Right? So, that's what it means. So, what will bring you success? Skills and right tools. Okay? And people are talking about work smart and not harder. So, which means skill is what brings success according to the Bible. So, take time to develop a skill set. Right? Now, even in this season, like MCO, all those... and people applying job, those who have skill set actually remain. You know, I have a friend who went to UK to do Master of Business Administration, MBA, right? Now, when you are in a country like that and you are not good in your command of English, you get nowhere. Talk only, ma. Talk. But when you have a skill set, you don't even need to talk. People need you. All right, can you see the difference? So when you look through the Bible, many examples of the Bible, not only that they are good people, but they rose to the top because of the skill set they have. So all leaders who are here, every one of us, we got to be learners. Okay, the moment we stop learning, we actually stop leading. All right, now, I don't know how many of you have been to USM. For me, whenever I saw this sculpture, in USM, one of the roundabout, how many have been to USM, USM student? Yes, 1, 2, 3, all right. I don't know whether you've been told or not, all right. This sculpture during my first year semester during orientation, the one that was telling us is this. When you come in, can you see the round, this round shape? When you come in, it's a quarter. So that guy was saying that when you come into your university, you already have a quarter knowledge. You're going to receive half here. So when you exit, each time when you go out, it's three quarter. Where's the other quarter? That's where you learn it outside. That's where you sharpen yourself even more, when you go outside. That's how much, the new city of education can give you. But I hope your education doesn't finish in your school, in your university. You continue learning, continue sharpen, your skill. Okay, now, how? Many times we do a lot of trial and error. Try this, try that. Cannot. Yeah, try this, try that. Try this, try that. It's okay. It's the learning as process. You learn how to do it and you do it. Wow. But the other way to learn or sharpen your skill is to learn from others. Somebody has done it. When somebody has done it, you need not. Why? Because you need not have to go through all the mistakes they have done. You hear from them. So... provided you want to experience the same mistakes, which you do not have to. Anyhow, we don't have all the time in the world to go through all the mistakes. So best is to learn from others. All right, it's wise to learn from experience, but it's even wiser, to learn from the experience of others. Life is just too short, to learn, in that sense. So best you learn it from other people as well. How? Just tickle your skin to go and ask somebody. If you are shy, you can't learn much. All right. Now, when I first started work, I think some of you hear my story of I'm not an engineering graduate. All right. So when I entered the job, I got in the this is second part of the story. All right. First part is how I got the job. Second part was that now I am engineer. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. So what do I do? I need to make my skin thicker, to ask. I ask my technician, I ask the other engineer besides me, I ask them, all right? But some of them really do not want to teach me because they look down on me. You see the graduate, you don't know anything, all right? So, technician, I said, Nyama, it's okay. God bless you. Wait until I become your boss. Okay. So, what I do... I went down to the operator level. Every moment that I have, I will go and observe how the operator does their work. This is screw, this is this, what's his name, I learn a lot of things in the production floor. But I was an engineer, but I'm learning from an operator, all right? Then after, oh, this is called like that, this is called like that. Okay, bring the BOM, bill of material, go down. Okay, oh, this is, okay. All right, and all those. When they are out for their break time, breakfast, lunch, and all this, I'll be taking a place. I say, I'll be doing a few sets for you. Okay, I'll be sit down, do. So I learned a lot of things down at the production floor. Of course, the day come, I became the boss, so they have to report to me. Okay, all right, now. So that's a kind of story short. Okay, now, Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but many advisors, they succeed. The Good News Translation says, get all the advice you can, and you will succeed. Without it, you will fail. So talk to people who are doing those jobs. The good news is, what you do not know, you can learn. All right? Now, this is what this series is all about. Talk to people who are doing what okay you want to do. Ask them, what working, what is not working. All right? So that with that, you build a network. Okay, number three. Well, three, share your wealth. What does that mean? Look at this, Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So one of the things that when you succeed, or not only when you succeed, if you want to succeed, right from the very beginning, learn how to honor the Lord. How? Through your tithes and offering. When we do the series on all that matters, we're going to talk a bit more okay, on that. Giving part of your wealth to the work of the kingdom, to the church where you belong, where you worship and grow. I really thank all of you, okay, for giving to the Lord. When you honor God with that, with your first fruit, the promise is very clear. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Today we don't have barns, but you have banks. Okay, all right. Your what's is your refrigerator or whatever storage that you have, all right? Mio always tell me, okay, we must have a storeroom. I say, no, the more we, if we have storeroom, the more we store, okay? No. So all of us like to have a store. So Mio and I, we learn how to give to the Lord the first time we come to know Jesus. The moment we come to know Jesus, we know that we wanting to give to the Lord. I started very young. I started as a student. Then how much do you have as a student? 10 ringgit? For me, 10 ringgit. So 10% is 1 ringgit. When you start small, and as you grow, it's easy. If you don't start now and you wait until you're successful or when you have, it's very difficult. So start where you are. So when that is clear in your heart and mind, it's easy, okay, to obey. And that, we teach that to our children as well, all right? How many of you realize that you need not have to be rich to give? Sometimes you hear the poorer give more than the rich. Yeah, we got to start where we are. So Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord. It is holy. So with that, how many of us remember the quote, God is my business partner? How many of you heard this, those in business? You guess, if God is your partner, how many did God receive? 10%. You? 90%. God gave 90% to you. You just have to give God 10%. All right. Now, how many of you hear the joke of how these three guys give to the Lord? The time. Okay. Now, one guy says, this is how they give to the Lord. They draw one line. And then they say, God, I give you the money. Whatever drops that side is yours, Lord. Overdrop this side is mine. This guy number one. Then the guy number two, oh, my better. All right, I draw a big circle. If I give to the Lord, whatever drops in the circle is mine. Also outside is all God. The third guy say, mine is even better. I give it all to God. Those that goes up belongs to God. Those come down belongs to me. All right, I know Terrence got many more. All right, now when you search the stories of people, how they give to the Lord, there are many, okay, stories, okay, that you can find. Just reading to you just one, all right. The story of a young man began a small cheese business in Chicago. He failed miserably and went deep into debt. A friend told him, the problem is you didn't commit your business to God and you haven't worked with his help. Then the young man said, oh, if God wants to run the cheese business, then he can do it and I will work for him and with him and share the profits. From that moment on, God became the senior partner in his business. It prospered and became the largest cheese company in the world. And the young man's name is J.L. Kraft. Not Jonathan Lim Kraft. Huh? Okay, all right now. Now, there are many more stories, all right? Now, we can hear, okay, people who wrote it, their testimony. But you haven't heard Evan Sue's testimony or Casey and April's testimony or Terrence and Poyling's testimony. And many of you, share that and how God has blessed you. So the question is, have you committed your work to the Lord? Sometimes when encouraging people and there's some that came to me and say, Pastor, let me settle my job first. Let me do this first. And all those, I say, okay, all right. Don't you think that, you know, job, family, and all those, sometimes you think about it, right? Why not come before God first? When we come before, commit it to the Lord, and the rest of the thing will just fall in place. All right? Okay, now, number four, as we end. Okay? Stay with it. So, in other words, how to succeed? One, seek God's direction. Two, sharpen your skill. Three, give to the Lord, share your wealth. Third, all right, then stay with it. So, if you want to be successful, is to stay with it. Stay focused. Keep on keeping on. You cannot like start the first month and you expect the first million comes in. It doesn't work that way. Although you love it so much, okay, to happen, it won't happen right now. There's a in the search, this is called up a poll that says 85% of people hate their job. Hope you don't. Hopefully you change your mind, all right? Are you satisfied with your job? Successful people don't know how to quit on their dream. Agree? All right, so they just keep on keeping on. Last week, we hear from Brother Evan, the character that destroy wealth. The fool, the sluggard, and the wicked. The characters that build wealth. The wise, the diligent, and the righteous. Learn this and stay put. Be diligent. Okay, the Bible has a lot to say about being diligent. The hand of the diligent will rule. Sorry. While the slothful will be put to forced labor. The plans of the diligent leads surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Okay, as I end, okay, so the question that I want to ask as far as stay put, okay, how to stay is this. How there are something that motivates you, that you stay on that job. Why? All right. One, it can be a lot of external motivation. What is it? Maybe the company, every end of the year has a holiday package for you. Go Europe, now cannot travel, all right? Now, some probably like with that, right? They give you a lot of these benefits and all those. That's all eternal motivation. But when company does not do well and all this external motivation no longer there, what are you going to do with your job? Internal. Would it be better if there is an internal, okay, motivation, which means something that you feel good, something that you satisfy, okay, that become your sense of identity, your position, because that's what you do. But what happened if the company also doesn't do well and you lost your job, you lost your job title, which means you also lost your identity, what would you do? Third one. Would there be an external motivation? Which means, whatever things take place, your eternal motivation is gone. Right? Last verse, and then we will end. Whatever you do, Paul says, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord. When you realize whatever work they are doing, the motivation is gone. Your current boss is not the real boss. The real boss is none other than Jesus. Amen. So we'll end with this story. Come, worship team. Normally in the working place, when boss not around, what all the rest do? when the cat is not around, the mouse. So I have colleagues and also different bosses saying, "Hey, boss, sudah balik ah." I say, "Yeah, I have a boss that you don't see." "Yeah, I have a boss that don't see." The same time I told them, even your current boss, they have an eye that you don't even know. Okay, so let there be an eternal motivation. Amen? All right, so question to all of us, have you commit your job to the Lord? And how do you do that? For kids to succeed, seek God's guidance through prayer and planning. Sharpen your skill on a regular basis. Share your wealth. All right, stay with it. Let eternal motivation be yours. Shall we pray? All right, taking a bit more of the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Yeah? Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. Father, we know that majority of us, oh Lord, in certain kind of work, whether it's a full-time basis, part-time basis, or even at home. And all those are considered work that we put in. And Father, we know, oh God, Lord, there are challenges in workplace, challenges whether in the building, outside the building, or at home. Father, today I want to commit all of us into your hands. Father, today I want to ask all of you, if you are working in any measure, will you stand with me, all right? Because I want to pray with you and for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you are holding a certain job anywhere. Let's pray. Father God, I pray and ask, oh God, Lord, the very job that each and every one of us in. Father, hearing the message today, I pray, oh God, that we will choose, oh God, Lord, to love our job or like our job. In that sense, oh God, Lord, that you take deep interest in what we are doing. We spend our life, our time, okay, like 40-50% in what we are doing. Some of us probably, we are running our own business. All the more, we will find ourselves spending probably 100% of our time working on what we are doing. All the more, oh God, as we hear, okay, from the passages from the book of Proverbs, I pray, oh God, Lord, that each and every one of us choose to seek your direction. Always asking, God, what do you want me to do? God, with this juncture, this position that I'm in, all right, what do you want me to do? Father, I pray that we will be person who pray, person who plan, person who write it down, commit it to you. And Father God, I pray that you will direct each and every one of us. Father, I also pray, Lord God, for some of us probably need to sharpen our skill. And I pray, Lord God, Lord, that we will choose, okay, at the time, okay, that we are given, oh God, Lord, Father, that we will develop that. And all the more, with the blessing that you receive, Father, help us, oh God, having clear in our mind, Father, that we want to give to you through our tithes and offering. Father, today I pray for persistency. I pray for determination. I pray, Lord God, for tenacity, Lord God, okay, to come upon each and every one of us. That means do not give up. Lord, I ask that you bless each and everyone here in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone say, amen. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand.